Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read verses 9 through 12 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 through 12. As you find in your place this morning, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God? As we read the Word of God together this morning, I'll read aloud as you read silently. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. God, help us this morning to get what we need. Holy Spirit, we as the listeners need your power for that. I pray you'd help us work in our lives. Help us to be what you want us to be by the preaching of the Word of God. And then, Father, I pray as the pastor comes that your Holy Spirit of God would be upon him. Use him this morning. Empower him for our sakes. Now, God, please, if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray that they would settle it before they leave this room today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
The cell phones this morning, the cell phones, please make sure they're turned off or to vibrate. If they go off during the service, an usher will rush to your seat and drag you out in front of everybody and throw you in the parking lot. So help us there, please. Make sure they're turned off to vibrate, because if you're in the middle of a row, they'll have to drag you over the top of people. We'd hate to see that happen. Folks get their nice Sunday clothes all dirty. So help us with that, would you please? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 12. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly. He's talking about a mirror there. But in those days, mirrors were polished metal. And so you've done that before. Maybe in the kitchen, ladies, you picked up a pot or something that had a reflection on it and you saw yourself. It wouldn't be a whole lot better than a piece of metal polished for a mirror. In other words, you couldn't see things real clearly. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Do you have some glass darkly things in your life? Things you just can't see? I mean, things that are... Well, the word darkly in the Bible here is an enigma. A mystery. Something that's shrouded and not easily understood. For now, the Bible says, we see through a glass darkly. Things that you just can't, I don't know, you just can't see the purpose of it. This morning, my phone rang, and a pastor friend of mine is going through a very, very deep valley today. He's as faithful to preach the Word of God as any preacher I know. He is serving God and been serving God with his life for many years. He just called today to say, I'm just going through the darkest valley I think I've ever been in my life. Please pray for me. You have glass darkly things in your life? Things that they're just hard to see. Can't see it very clearly. Maybe from your past. Some things you just haven't been able to see. You understand what I'm talking about. They just don't make a lot of sense to you. And to you, it's like looking into a mirror for a reflection, but you just can't see very clearly what you see. I got a cartoon sent to me this week or last week of an older couple sitting at a counter in a restaurant. And they're both looking down the counter from them. And the older gentleman says to his wife, he goes, "See that old couple down there? That's going to be us one of these days." And his wife said, "Do you realize that's a mirror down there?" So if I look at this verse now, I understand it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face," verse 12 says, "I know now, I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." There's a great scriptural context to that for another truth I'm not going to touch this morning. But I've just been thinking about those glass darkly things in my life a lot this week. Maybe it's from our past. We look back at things and we think, you know, even after all this time, I still can't see the reason for it. Maybe it's something you're dealing with right now in your life, and it's a glass darkly to you. You look at it and you think, I don't see it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. May I say to you this morning that if it's not something from the past or something in your present, there will be something in the future, and you'll look at it and say, "I don't see it. I just don't understand that." Bible says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that what we do about these glass darkly things of our lives is very important to how well you're going to make it in life, whether you will make it or not? We live in a society today that has people that have all kinds of questions and don't seem to have many answers. Or those who seem to be telling us they have the answers seem to have no idea what they're talking about. It is a political year. We got folks running for office, some people trying to hang on to the office that they have. It would seem that a vast majority of them really have no idea what they're talking about. Some do, maybe. I don't know. I follow it carefully because I'm an American. I want to be aware of what's going on. And I follow all the stuff and read on it and do everything else. Most people today don't even care. You're foolish. You need to be an aware citizen in this country. But understand this, aside and separate of the political arena, there are just some things that are glass darkly to me. I'm 58 years old, and there's still some things I look back and I say, I still don't see that. I had another pastor friend. His son was horribly injured in a car accident, and it took months of rehab. And in that process, his wife had some medical problems that they did not take care of because they were so busy with him. And it turned out she comes down with cancer, and because they waited and put things off, the son survived and the wife dies of cancer. I look at that and I think, that's a glass darkly. I don't understand that. What do you do with those things in life? Would you look at that verse, please, very carefully and just see a few thoughts this morning on this? He says, the first two words are, "For now, we see it. We see through a glass." For now. You know how you deal with glass darkly things that you just can't see and don't understand? Realize it's for now. It's not forever, it's for now. Do you understand, dear people, that when we face things in our lives and things don't make sense to us or seem right in the now moments, it's just for now? Okay, here it is, let me read it to you. "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 3 says this, though, listen to me, "But he hath made everything beautiful in his time." For now, we see through a glass darkly. You're standing in a cemetery, it's a glass darkly moment sometimes, isn't it? The hospital room can be a glass darkly moment. Phone call comes in the middle of the night, glass darkly. Don't see it. Don't always understand it. But I think it helps us in our lives if we stop and realize that that's a for now thing. Do you realize, Christian child of God, my friend, this morning, do you realize there's nothing that you face in this life that will last forever? When this life is finished, then we're done with it. And for the child of God this morning, we know that on the other side of the next blink of your eye and heartbeat of your heart, there is eternity that awaits us, where we set aside all the stuff of life, all those burdens and battles and struggles and trials and difficulties, and we put them all aside and we go to heaven. And when we get to heaven, God takes all the former things and wipes them all away, and there will be a day where everything will be made new. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't help me in the here and now. Then you're looking at the glass darkly and not realizing it's just for now. But wait a minute, look at me. Every child of God in the history of mankind has had to have their glass darkly moments, where for now they went through trials like Job did. For now they suffered rejection like Joseph did. For now they go to the bed. Jesus came into His own and His own received Him not. Even the perfect Son of God had to walk this earth and know what rejection and refusal meant in His life. For now. For now they make fun of His name. They mock it. They belittle it. But one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father without the ACLU's permission. But for some of us, now listen, we may not see the reasons in the moment of our glass darkly, but it is just for now. Now please listen. For some of us, our glass darkly is due to the fact that we live like there is no tomorrow. We do just live for now. Just now. I'm going to make my decisions for my life and live the way I want to. I'm going to do what I want with my life because I'm just going to live in the here and now, and I don't care. I don't care about what my life is. I don't care about what anyone thinks. I'm going to live for me and do my life now, and I'm going to live in the right now. And so God lets you have a glass darkly so your now doesn't look too good either. But most people can't acknowledge that when they get to that place in their life. They reject the Word of God. They reject what the Scripture says. They turn their backs on what God wants them to do. And they just live for today like there is no tomorrow. And then they wonder why their today is not too good. Well, you're looking through a glass darkly for a reason to teach you better. We better wake up and realize there is going to be a tomorrow. It may not be in this life, but there will be a tomorrow. We can't just bypass this business of do our will, reject the will of God, and then question the will of God. You can't do that. It's not fair, and it's not just, and it's not right. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to with my life. And then we wonder why our life is, there's so much glass darkly to our life. So much that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But for now, God has let you come to the place where you wake up and realize things are not what they ought to be. Live like there's no tomorrow, and today will leave you with a glass darkly, guaranteed. For now. But for some people, that's not always the case. For some people, the glass darkly of now is a test of your faith. Listen now, and He's just going to let things for now not seem real clear to you. Listen now, and for now, you're not going to see it. I think about Joseph in the Bible, sold by his brothers into slavery, and almost 20 years of his life go by. You know something, dear people? Joseph had to go through these times in his life. He had to experience some things. And at the moment he went through all his being sold as a slave and being... Hey, young people out in the foyer, listen now when the preaching's going on. Please listen. While he's going through all these things in his life, it didn't look like it made much sense being thrown in a pit by his brothers, then sold as a slave to Potiphar, then being falsely imprisoned. Nothing in the now looked good to Joseph or made any sense to him. But later on, when God raised him up and gave him the throne of Egypt and he could restore his family, then it made sense later on. But for the now, it didn't. But it was a testing time. Can you do that, child of God? Can you trust God enough to know that He knows what's going on for now? It's when we press God about things and we doubt Him and question that God knows what He's doing, and turn even sometimes we turn our backs on the whole thing and say, that's it. I can't deal with this anymore. No, excuse me. It's for now we see through a glass darkly. As tough as the times are and as difficult as they can be at times, it's for now. It's not forever, it's for now. It's for this moment, this time. Have you got enough faith to trust the God of heaven that He does know what He's doing? That He is in charge, that He is the God of heaven, and He knows what's right and what's wrong and what's best for you? Can you trust Him with that? For now we see through a glass darkly, but it's just for now. What's your reason for seeing through the glass darkly this morning? Is it because you left, look at me, is it because you left God out of everything and stepped aside? Eric, sit back there, son. Sit right there, please. Sit right there, Eric. Thank you. Sit down right there. Is it because you've left Him out of the plan of God in your life? Turn your back on the Word of God and stepped out of what the Bible tells you to do? Then for now, you're seeing through a glass darkly. You can fix that, you know. Did you know that this book is also likened to a mirror? But this book is a perfect mirror. It shows exactly what we want to see. Some of us, we avoid that. We can't do the Bible thing. We really can't look honestly enough in this book and see what we really should see. But you can fix that for now thing by stopping the foolishness of living outside of God's Word and live for His Word. He'll clear some things up for you. And if that's not your case today and you're going through a time of testing, then just listen to me. Draw a deep breath of the grace of God in your life and say, well, Lord, for now I see through a glass darkly. When I was a boy living in a drunkard's home, it didn't make any sense to me as a kid. I just didn't see it. Couldn't understand it. How could a boy, a little six, eight-year-old boy, how could he make any sense out of living in a drunkard's home? How could you see any hope in that, any reason or purpose for it? Wasn't necessary. Later on, God would reveal some things and explain what it was all about. But for now, you know what it does for you, my friend, in those times of trials and testing in God in your life? It helps you get through the day. Sufficient unto the day, the Bible says, is the evil thereof. It doesn't mean every day has evil in it. It means every day has the potential of evil in it. But all they got to do is get through one day. That's all. I don't know about it a year or 2 years or 10 years, but I know one thing. If I just have to put up with it for 24 hours and get up tomorrow and try again, it'll be all right. For now, we see through a glass darkly. You know how you live with the glass darkly moments? Number two, look at that verse. He says, but then, face to face. Oh. You live through the glass darkly moments in life when you realize clarity will come. Oh yeah, listen now. God will reveal some things to you. He'll wipe the mirror of His Word clean and turn it to our lives and He'll say, do you see it now? Here's why. Now may I say to you this morning, that may not necessarily be pleasant. I'd like to say God will make everything turn out rosy and peachy. Truth of the matter is it may not work like that. You know when the Bible says that the Word of God will not return unto Him void, that it will accomplish the purpose for which He sent it? Do you realize that means sometimes it brings conviction instead of comfort? Sometimes it brings correction instead of guidance. Sometimes the clarity I'm going to get from the Word of God is God's going to say, this is the way you've lived now. This is what's going to happen. Let's fix this thing. Why do you think sometimes people come to a Bible preaching church and they reject what they hear? It's not so much about what the preacher's preaching. It's about what the preacher's preaching from. Preach from the Bible, it opens the mirror, and it shows us where we are and what we ought to do. And then there is clarity. All of a sudden, the light comes on and we go, oh man, I'm where I am, doing what I'm doing, and experiencing what I'm experiencing, not because of life, but because of choices that I've made I should not have made. It may be a bitter truth that you've made the problems that you face, but it's a good thing because it helps you to deal with it. Can you accept the fact that what God reveals to you is something that you brought in your own life and now you can fix it? Now you can correct it? They have robotic surgery now where a doctor in one place can actually perform surgery on a patient in another state, another place. Now for me personally, I want the guy standing there. Right? Have you ever been in a situation with an electronic device in your hand where all of a sudden you get a phone call from Afghanistan? I love those people who call you up and you say, hello, and they go, who's this? And I always say, who's this? Well, you tell me. No, you called me. You tell me who this is. I did. I actually got a phone call one time from Afghanistan. And I thought, what in the world? Now look at me. I don't want a doctor in New York doing robotic surgery in Minaret in California. They get across, you know, across some electronic waves somewhere, and I'm going to come out of there missing a leg that I didn't was supposed to have working on. I'm not real crazy about robotic surgery. You know, that doesn't thrill me a great deal. I want someone standing there who can actually do the work, and I can see their face at least before I pass out. I want to at least know what's going on. I want to have some idea of what's happening. And I want them to look me in the face and tell me what's going on with my life. When you look in the mirror of the Word of God, can you accept what it says? We're quick to say, well, it's a mystery in our life. You get some clarity after a while. Then you begin to see the reason for things that happen in our lives. Can you accept that? Are you okay with it? When the Word of God reveals to you that it's something you did that you could fix, but it's something you have to repent and get right about, are you okay with that? See, we always think the Bible is just about healing and repair and don't realize there's a reason things have to be healed and repaired. Often it's because we made mistakes. It's okay to admit what we're wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't fix anything until you do. But then again, it may be that clarity will come, and then all of a sudden you'll be like Joseph, who said now to his brothers when they were restored to him, he said, now I know why God let this happen in my life. Now I know. That clarity moment came for Joseph. That moment came later on when Job got to heaven, never knew on this earth. But these moments come, ladies and gentlemen. If you give God time through those glass, darkly moments of your life, you'll get some clarity after a while if you keep trusting Him. Did God want me to live in a drunkard's home and be beat by a drunk stepfather? No. Did God give some clarity to the heartbreaking sorrow I experienced as a child? Yes. He was able to take that stuff and now I use it in ministry and life to help people who go through the very same things. God was able to take that which they did, which shouldn't have happened, and He gave me some clarity about it. So I'm okay with it. Now I don't have problems with my childhood. My great unanswered questions. I look back in a glass darkly when I was a boy. That's the way I saw it. Now, there's clarity to that thing now. Hey, you know what? It's made me appreciate everything of my life. A home, a life, a family, God's blessings, His goodness in my life. Listen to me. I'm a man who is very simply pleased about things in life. Because you know what? I lived in a drunkard's home where you go in the refrigerator and open the door and all there was a six packs of Ham's beer in there and a couple of pieces of bread in an old loaf laying in there. I know what that's like. I've seen that. Well, there's clarity now. I used to see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And now God has made some things clear about it all. Can you trust Him to go through the glass darkly hours long enough to let God come through? And then when the clarity comes, can you accept that this is what God wanted and that there were things that could not have happened and would not have taken place in your life and the life of others if you didn't go through some things like that? But now, face to face. You know, there's some things in the Bible that are glass darklies to me. Salvation by grace through faith. I know what it is in the Bible. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's clearly taught in Scripture from Genesis to the Revelation that God sends redemption to us through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. We must then, each and every one of us, receive the gift of eternal life and accepting Him as our personal Savior. So what's so darkly about that, Pastor Johnson? I mean, where's the mystery in it all? I don't understand why He would save us. Why? We sinned against God and He provides us salvation through Christ. I don't understand that. I don't understand the glass darkly of eternal security. That once you accept Christ as your Savior, you are saved and God will keep you in that same saved condition from the moment you trust Christ forever. Why would He do that? How does He do that? How does God's power override the foolishness of my choices and decisions? I don't know, can't explain it. You know, there's a lot of glass darkly about heaven, isn't there? Now, we know a lot from the Bible. Revelation 21 and 22, there's a lot of passages in the Scripture that explain to us that heaven is a real place with houses and streets and there's trees and rivers and people live there. We don't float around in the cloud with long blonde hair and play harps and sprinkles poof dust on people. I mean, they actually have a life. That's where they are right now. They're in a paradise of God in this place called heaven. But there's still a lot of things that are mysteries about that. There's still a lot of glass darkly about heaven. And I like the fact that there's glass darkly about heaven because the best is yet to come. There's more to heaven than we know and realize. There's more about it, and there's conjecture about heaven. Well, is this going to be in heaven? Will that be in heaven? Will animals be in heaven? We know they're not. The Bible says so. The truth of the matter is, well, there's things we do know and things we don't know about heaven. There's a lot of glass darkly about that. But what we do know for sure is this. Every saved loved one who's gone before us is there waiting for us now. Every one of them. People that you don't even know that were part of your faith, they're waiting for you there. The glass darkly of eternity is way beyond our comprehension. Something that lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. But the moment we get to heaven, we'll understand that eternal stuff. Got to start to put the pieces together. This glass darkly is about the things of this life that I don't understand either. Wait a minute. But salvation I accept by faith. Heaven I accept by faith. Eternity I accept by faith. So the things I look at in my life now that are glass darkly to me, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to accept those by faith also. God knows what He's doing, people. There will clarity will come. Can you wait on Him long enough for Him to clear the vision of things up? Wipe the mirror clean so you can see more clearly what you're supposed to see? So you'll understand better what God has and intends. For now, the Bible says, we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, but then shall I know, even as also I am known, He said. And everything will come clear. It will. You give God time, trust Him. God always comes through. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Would you heads bowed and eyes closed?